Well, our pastor had originally planned to be here this morning, so I'm just as surprised to be here as you are to see me here. He's holding a meeting in the wild and wonderful West Virginia, up there in the hollers of West Virginia, a place called Dangus. Him and Paul Mahan's preaching up there. And I hope he can find his way out of there. It's kind of a rugged place. Been there one time, and I'm from West Virginia, and I ain't never seen a place like that before. But I trust the Lord will be pleased to meet with us and bless us together and enable us to worship Him. And invite your attention for our scripture reading this morning, Luke chapter 7. It's not where I'll be preaching from, but it's a related verse of scripture. You may refer back to it. Luke chapter 7. Beginning in verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he, to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Let's pray. Turn back with me to the book of Luke, and this time chapter 15, Luke chapter 15. And I propose to you all this morning that we consider verse 2 together. Let's read verse 1 and 2 together. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. This man receiveth sinners. Do you not feel as I do that this is a most profound and moving verse of Scripture? Considering who this man is and who we are as sinners, and that this man, the God-man, receives sinners, receives such as we. It's a verse of scripture that excites the emotions to me, and I suspect you as well, but it's one that causes our hearts to beat a little faster in love to our dear Savior, and it livens our hopes. And I'm caused to conclude by what we read in this scripture, that if Christ receives sinners, and He does, surely He'll receive me. Surely He'll receive me. Not maybe. Surely He'll receive me. Can I take my place as a sinner with nothing? Not just a sinner in word, but knows I'm nothing but sin. In my heart, in my nature, in my will, in my way, in my mind, I'm nothing but sin. And this truth is borne out throughout the scripture. And we're going to look at some things this morning. It says in one place, Christ Himself said, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They that are whole, they don't need a physician. They that are sick. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Apostle Paul said, this is worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the chief one. I'm on the top of that list. Paul concluded that, didn't he? That if this man receives sinners, He'll surely receive me. We read that Christ healed them that had need of healing. And He always does. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. I'd like for you to imagine with me a moment the impossible. Now just imagine something that is impossible. Imagine the unimaginable. We remember the thief on the cross as he hung there with our Lord, and he looked over at our Lord and he said, Lord, remember me. Imagine the impossible. Imagine the unimaginable. Our Lord turning a deaf ear. Has ever a man turned to God in Christ, come to God in Christ, and Christ turned a deaf ear? That's why He came to this earth, to hear the cries and deliver us from our sin, deliver His people from their sins, to hear their cries. Oh, never has it been recorded in Scripture that He turned away from the cry for help. We read of accounts in the Gospels where a leper said, Lord, if Thou will, You can make me clean. And our Lord reached out and touched him, that filthy leper. We hear the blind beggar, Jesus, Jesus was passing by. He said, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And the only place in Scripture we read, our Lord stood still. He stopped. He had mercy on that blind beggar. We're going to look at five things this morning quickly. We want to look at things that proclaim the approachableness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to look at a few of His offices. There's no way we can tell it all or cover all of them. We're going to look at His names and His titles that proclaim His approachableness. We're going to look at His person, His word, His actions, and then last of all, we're going to talk about an encouragement to come to Christ. So back in our text in Luke chapter 15, our Lord is one most approachable and easily entreated. There's a verse over in James chapter 3 that I'd say you're familiar with, but it says this, James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above. And I take that to mean our Lord Jesus Christ, the very wisdom of God. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. It's pure. Pure wisdom. Then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That wisdom from above, that speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, great men of our day, they're not easily approached and do not often have conversation with common folks, invite them in. They live in a different world and have nothing in common with the lowly. They're in a higher class, a higher status in the world. But he who is greater than all, this man that our text speaks of, the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself in human flesh, this man is the greatest of all men. As a matter of fact, he's the only holy man that ever lived. Holy. No sin. Perfect in every way. This man, who's the greatest of all, he's easily approached, easily entreated by all who will come to him. Sinners are comfortable with him, and he's comfortable with sinners. The lowly. He himself was lowly. He said, I'm meek and lowly. He's comfortable with all who will come to him, no matter their rank or their station. He said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But these philosophical teachers in our day, the Pharisees and the scribes, whom our Lord despised, he said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, called them vipers, called them snakes, but they would keep no company with these. He said, he received sinners. They made a distinction between them and the sinners that came to hear our Lord. They considered sinners to be inferior to them, and they would never talk familiarly with them, but stood apart from them, declared themselves to be above them. But our Lord never drove a sinner away because of his ignorance. He never refused one that sought him. He said, he that seeks me will find me. He that asks receives. Never turned away a thirsty soul. Never turned away one who come to him with a need. They drew near unto him. They did so for to hear him, to hear what he had to say. You know, we read over in Luke 10 where our Lord tells Martha, he says, Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about with many things, but Mary hath chosen that good part. And what did Mary do? He called it the one thing needful. She sat at his feet and heard his word. Oh, Lord, teach me. Give me ears to hear what you've got to say. Look to him for instruction, for guidance, for instruction in righteousness, and in salvation, in deliverance. But these Pharisees and scribes, they murmured, they criticized. There's a place over there in Luke 19, you remember Zacchaeus. He got up into the tree to get a view of the Lord as he passed by, and the Lord said, looked up and told him, said, Zacchaeus, get down. Today I've got to abide in your house. Well, these religious Pharisees and uppity people, they said, well, he's going to be guest with a man that's a sinner. There he is again, eating with sinners. Doesn't that delight your soul? It does me. The Pharisees and the scribes, and you would think any man with a heart at all, with any kind of heart, would be happy to see all men come to see the Lord of glory, who's so easily approached. But they were offended at it and found fault with it. How can anyone have anything to do and have company with these kind of people? The riffraff of the earth. Sinners. Publicans. The lowlifes. Well, my focus today, as I mentioned a moment ago, is to focus our attention upon our Lord and take encouragement to ourselves in sinners approaching him, seeing sinners approach him, and how he reacts to them and how he deals with them, and encourage us as we approach God as sinners, as like-minded sinners. But our Lord and his gentle manners, it's a beautiful thing to see. And the more we look into it, the more beautiful it becomes. This scripture we have here, this man receives sinners and eats with them. He communes with them. He fellowships with them. Calls them his friends. Just to dwell on that, for we take that for granted, don't we? The fact that we, as sinners, can approach God through Christ anytime, anywhere, and we're welcome. And we can approach the throne of grace boldly because of Him. And we're nothing but sin. God is entirely holy. Oh, we take that for granted, but what a blessed privilege. What a Savior. What a mediator we have between us and God, that we can come as sinners and not pretend to be something we're not. Come as we are. No pretense. Confessing what we are. And be blessed and helped and saved by coming to Him. Oh my, we take it for granted, but it's a wonderful thing. But let me mention some of His offices which clearly proclaim His approachableness. And I touched on this a minute ago. He's our mediator between God and man, and as a mediator must be akin to both parties. He said, I'm one with the Father. I and the Father are one. So we know that He's as God, He is God. He's the second person of the Trinity. But He must be approachable by the other party, which is us as sinners. Or He cannot be, that's a office of a mediator. What He must do, mediate between two parties that are at odds. He's one with the Father and He's the Son of Man. He Himself is a man. He's God and He's man. What a mediator. Now, that's beyond explanation. And I heard Greg Elmquist say this the other day. He said, we don't understand anything that we believe. And that's pretty much the truth of it. We believe it. That Jesus Christ is God and Jesus Christ is man. As much man as if He's never God, as much God as if He was never man in one person. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in that one man, this lowly, meek man that dwelt on this earth and died. It's beyond explanation. God, give us grace to believe His word regarding this and everything in His word. Another office our Lord occupies, He's our priest, our great high priest, who offers on our behalf. The great high priest, and He's a true brother of the people, chosen from among the people. He's made flesh as we are flesh. And our great high priest, says the scripture, He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Our great high priest is one that can be touched. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He experienced what we experience as men. He hungered, He thirsted, He got tired. And He's our great high priest that offers Himself on our behalf before God. We read about, or we see, worldly priests these days, so-called. And doesn't that just sicken you to see men pretend to be some kind of a priest and put on the gaudy dress and the outfit, the costume, and parade in front of their parishioners? But they stand apart from other worshipers. They call themselves reverend. They're a couple steps higher than the other people, at least. They're to be despised. They are to be despised. And worst of all, they profess power to forgive sin. They're hucksters, and they're to be despised. But our Lord alone can pardon sin and effectually fulfill the office of priest. And though He be the basest of men, and our iniquities be ever so great, the great friend of sinners is willing at this moment that publicans and sinners draw near to Him. And then thirdly, a third office, He's our Savior. our Savior. What a blessed word. Savior, we sung that song Seth picked out. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. We call on to Him as our Savior to save us. We cannot save ourselves. You remember the bleeding man who lay in the road to Jericho, and the priest and the Levite, they saw him laying there, and they went over the other side to avoid him and passed by the priest and the Levite. But the certain Samaritan who came to know where the man was, he came where he was and stooped over him and took wine and oil and poured in his wounds. And he lifted him up with tender love and set him on his beast and took him to the inn and took care of him. And we already talked about that leper. Lord, if you can make me clean. And our Lord went to him and reached out and touched him. Our Lord went to him. Doesn't he come to us when we call for him? Lord, help me. How many times has he come and spoke peace to our hearts? Our Lord is our Savior. He comes where we are to save us. We can't get up from where we are. He comes to us, our Savior. In our wounds of sin, no matter how putrid, we'll not drive him away from you. Oh, our offense is, it's a nauseating thing in the nostrils of God, the holy and righteous God, our righteous judge. But that won't stop our Lord from coming to us. It shall not be overcome. His love for us will not be overcome by our wickedness, our sinfulness. And now consider with me just a few minutes some names and titles of our Lord. The scripture said our Lord is the Lamb of God, a Lamb. Oh, what a blessed name, the Lamb of God. Taketh away the sin of the world. Who's ever been afraid of a lamb? You ever been around a lamb? Every child around a lamb just wants to touch him, put his hand on the head of that lamb. It's an instinct to put his hand on the head of that lamb. And our Lord said to be the good shepherd, a great shepherd of the sheep, who cares for the sheep. And our great shepherd gave his life for the sheep. Oh my, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, and the sheep are never timid in approaching the shepherd. The shepherd watches out for them. The shepherd cares for their safety. There's nothing in a good shepherd, our good shepherd, to drive us away from him. But everything we see in him entices us to come to him, our great shepherd. And then he's called our brother. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our brother. We've been adopted in the family of God, our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, we're brothers. A brother is one who do all he can to help in time of trouble. And what is it that our Lord is not able to do? He's able to do all things, above all that we think or ask. Even so, Christ, Scripture says, the brother born for adversity. The brother born for adversity. We can approach him and call upon him for help because he's our brother. He's in our family. He's family. Fourthly, he's also called our friend. The Lord of glory is our friend, the friend of sinners. John 15, verse 15, we read, henceforth our Lord said, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. And what a genuine friend is he. He's a friend in good times and a friend in bad times. He's a friend in times of rejoicing and a time of want and sorrow and lack. He's a friend, truly, that sticketh closer than a brother. And then think with me now for a few minutes some things regarding his person. And we've touched on this already as well. He is man and he is God. He is both in one person, the God-man. If he were God only, we might well stand in fear at approaching him. we might well keep ourselves at a distance if he were God alone, and shudder at the splendor of his majesty, and view him as he is outside of Christ, a consuming fire. But as man, he was a man of sorrows, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, familiar with grief. This world is full of grief and sorrow, and our Lord experienced that. He's familiar with it. He himself endured it. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He had no place to lay his head. He was born in a manger where the ox fed, where the cows fed. He hung on a woman's breast. He was obedient to his parents. He is precisely as we are in all things save sin. Our Lord Jesus Christ, God and man, all man, a real man, the only real man. Does this not cause us to desire to draw near to him? He's a man. He's our brother. He's our shepherd. He's the Lamb of God. He's God Almighty, robed in human flesh. Nothing's too hard for him. He said, "He that asketh receiveth. Come to me. I'll in no wise cast you out." Does this not proclaim to all the world his willingness to be approached by men? You know, men like to criticize grace believers, grace preachers. We insist that God doesn't love everyone. And the scripture bears that out. God does not receive every man. God does not love every man. The scripture teaches he receives sinners. He loves sinners. Oh my, we ought to rejoice in that. God, bring us to that blessed state that we're sinners. But he so identified himself with us that he is as much man as if he were never God, and as much God as if he were never man. And the scripture says, without controversy, how great is the mystery of godliness. We don't understand it. Like Greg said, we believe it. How great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. How great is that mystery? And then here's some more of our Lord's words. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What an encouragement. Come, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly. I'm not high and harsh. Come to him, the meek and lowly one, for he said also, this is a promise. Listen to this. Just take this to your heart. Him that cometh to me, I shall in no wise cast out. That thief said, "Lord, remember me." He didn't cast him out. He didn't look and say, "Well, now's a fine time for you to ask me to save, to remember you. Can't you see the condition I'm in?" But no, he said, "Today." He saved him completely, eternally, right then and there. Oh, what a salvation, what a Savior. Come, come. Our Lord stood in that last day, great day of the feast, and he said, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Let him come to me and drink." And what will happen? He said, "Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Rivers of living water. You come to me thirsty? Go away from me with rivers running out of your belly. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem," our Lord says, "thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent to thee. You hated my prophets. You hate me. Oh, you that killed the prophets, you that stoned them which I sent to you. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings? I would have, and you would not. What an awful thing. What an awful, how awful sin is that will not come to Christ, will not come to him who would have them come to him and do them good. Our Lord says this too, some more of our Lord's words. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, though you're a sinner, not one sound spot on you, though your sins be scarlet, dark, dyed in the wool, red, blood, sins as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Why don't men come to Christ? Why don't men come to Christ? He says, let the wicked forsake his way. Forsake your way. Give up on your way and your thinking and your will. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts. Give up your thoughts. Your thoughts are evil. Your thoughts are wrong. And let him return to the Lord. And what will he do? He'll have mercy on him. Anybody like the sound of that word mercy? And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Not just pardon, abundantly pardon. He told that thief on the cross, you're going to be with me in paradise today. That's abundant pardon, isn't it? That's abundant pardon. Yet with all this that the Scripture tells us and our Lord speaks to us in the Scripture, the Scripture says of man, you will not come to me that you might have life. You won't do it. I would, but you would not. Christ is willing, but man is not. There's a verse over there in chapter 14 of Luke where it says a certain man made a great supper and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden. And look there in verse 18 of chapter 14. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. And listen to this. The first man said unto him, I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I must do this. I must go look at this piece of ground. I must go see a piece of ground. The marriage supper that God's provided, but I must forego that and go look at a piece of ground. Man will not come to Christ. And further, the Scripture bears this out too. It says, you cannot come to me unless the Father which has sent me drawing. A man has to be brought to the place where he doesn't say, I must go do this and must go do that, but I must get to Christ. My situation is desperate. I lie on the brink of eternity and my soul is lost. And my sin will destroy me for all eternity. And there's a fountain for the soul unclean. And it's found in our Lord Jesus Christ, who bids sinners to come to him. And I've heard of him and I must get to him. I must get to him. Let the world go. I don't need to go see a piece of ground. I need to get to Christ. And that only comes by the Holy Spirit convincing men of sin, causing them to realize who they are, what they are, and that's nothing. No claim on God, nothing they can offer God, and who he is. And we must have a mediator. We must have a Savior. And then think briefly of some of Christ's actions. We'll try to wind this up fairly quickly. When some of the disciples said that the master must not be disturbed by children, our Lord rebuked their harshness. That's harsh. Our Lord's not harsh. He's kind. He's gentle. Easily entreated. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Our Lord's a child's friend. And he stoops to hear the simple prayers and praises of little children. If you're a child here this morning, never too early to call on Christ. Come to Christ in your heart. If you're a young person, Jesus doesn't drive you away because of your youth and lack of experience, lack of years. Come to Him. Seek Him now and seek Him early. There's a verse in Proverbs 8 and verse 17. I'll not have you turn there, but it says this. They that seek me early shall find me. That sounds like a promise. Isn't that a promise? They that seek me early, they'll find me. What an encouragement. There was a woman in the city who was a sinner. Her sin had caused her to be shunned by everyone. But having been forgiven in gratitude, she poured precious ointment on the Savior's feet and then wiped them with her hair. We read that in Luke 7 a little bit ago. And then when Simon the Pharisee would have rebuked her, the loving Master said, "She loves much because she has been forgiven much." He's approachable by all, even the worst, even the harlot. Need not fear to draw near to Him. And then our Lord's actions, another thing, our Lord was always preaching. And He was often weary. We know He was weary. He got tired. He never uttered an angry, irritable syllable. He was approachable by all at all hours. As He hung on that cross, suffering the wrath of God for all of His people, He heard the cry of a sinner. Not once was He harsh toward His inquirers. He graciously receives the weak and feeble ones who come to Him, and He sends none empty away. None empty. But here's the crowning argument, the crowning encouragement. Look yonder to Calvary. See the bleeding, suffering Savior paying for sin, not His own. And oh, how He suffered. And in the midst of His suffering, one approached Him as He hung beside Him and cried to Him, saying, "Lord, remember me." Our Lord, in His dying hour, spoke to this sinner in grace and said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." There is no inopportune time to come to Christ. Come to Him now, right where you sit. Never move a muscle. You can come to Him in your heart right this moment. He's near. He's approachable. He's passing by this moment. Your needs to supply. Reach out and touch Him. Draw near to Him. And then He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Because He lives, we live. And He's exalted on high to give repentance and remission of sins. There's no reason a man should stay back, but every reason why we should come boldly to the throne of grace. There is a throne of grace. It's for sinners to come and bow at His feet at the throne of grace. And we have a high priest who's passed into the heavens and intercedes for us and hears our cries and hears the prayers of a sinner. And then in what manner must we come to Christ? We touched on that a minute ago. Come to Him where you sit. Never move a muscle, never bat an eye, and you can come to Christ. Must an aisle be walked or a hand be raised? Must we climb up to reach a certain height or place? Is there an obstacle for us to come to Christ? Must we with great effort and overcoming of obstacles approach Christ? 1,000 times no. Coming to Jesus, which saves the soul, is this one thing, simple whole reliance on Him. That's it. Quit your doing, ceasing of your effort, falling down before Him. No good works, no ceremonies or experiences are demanded. A childlike faith is the way to Jesus. There's no qualification. They talk about qualifying what qualifies you as a sinner. Scripture says He receives sinners. You get to Christ any way you can. Come to Him right where you sit. And God gives you the grace we need to approach Him. He brings you to a point where you can do nothing. You must come to Christ. You can't not come to Christ. He brings you to that point. You see your need of Him. Oh, by nature, we have no desire to come to Him. It's a striking thing that we whom we so greatly offended by our sin and rebellion is so willing to receive us, and so convincingly in Scripture confirms this to us. The prodigal son, that's another one. The son went out and spent all he had on riotous living, but his father was watching for him and saw him coming over the brow of the hill, and he ran out to meet him, smothered him with kisses, killed the fatted calf, put a ring on his finger, put the best robe on him. In spite of who he was and what he did, he came home, came back to his father. And in like manner, we must come to Christ, come to the Father through Christ. Come and welcome is what you'll hear. Come and welcome, sinner, come and welcome. I've been looking for you, waiting for you, watching for you. And lastly, if Christ be so approachable by all needy ones, then needy one, anybody needy, come and welcome, and come now. Come and find a warm welcome and great rejoicing in heaven over one who comes and is delivered. And there's no such thing as fitness. That's why we come. We have no fitness. That's why we need to come. That's why we must come. We're not fit for God's heaven. And how great the folly of those who never come to Christ. Oh, may God deliver each of us from our own will and our own way and our own stubbornness and our own self-love, that we will not give up what we think of ourselves. That we're surely something better than those sinners, those publicans and sinners that Christ received. Our guilt will be our own if we don't come to Him. Our ruin will be upon our own heads. Despise not mercy. Despise not mercy. Come and come now. Hear Him say, welcome. You may. You may come. What hinders you? It's not Christ that hinders you. It's not the Scripture. We went through a lot of Scriptures. Is there any Scripture we read? Is there any hint of hindrance to Him that would come? Both Christ and the Scriptures encourage you to do so. Yea, even command you to come to Christ. Hear Him speak words of life. Why will ye die when Christ is so nearby? If you have no grace, come to Him for grace. You don't wait till you have grace. You come to Him for grace. If you don't have a tender heart, come to Him for a tender heart. Come to Him. If you have no faith, come to Him for faith. Come to Christ to learn. Not learn to learn and then come to Christ. Come to Christ to be taught of Him. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. That's a good Scripture to end on. Take of the water of life freely, no cost. Let's bow in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Oh, our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we trust, Lord, that what's been said and set forth here this morning was honoring and truthful and honest, and bless it to the hearts of your people and use it to your honor and glory to call out your sheep. Oh, give us all that need of Christ that we cannot live without Him, in knowing that when we do come to Him, and we must continue to come to Him, that He'll supply our every need, and He does supply our every need and has supplied our every need. There's no want of anything for the believer. Oh, how great is our Savior. Help us to love Him and to serve Him and honor Him. Keep us, we pray. Keep us trusting and believing, and keep us coming. And go with us through the remainder of the day. Bring us back again tonight to worship again in Christ's name. Amen.